Good evening again to everyone. Even as you have been welcomed, we welcome you again. It's great to look out and see that you're here this afternoon. It's been a beautiful day. It still is beautiful. Daylight out, but nevertheless, we pause for a little time of study, a time of worship, a time of growing in faith and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As has been announced, the lesson, the lesson is Lessons from the Cross. Now, we're not talking about the crucifixion tonight. If you came to hear that lesson, you'd be disappointed. But it's things that we can learn from the cross, things whereby that we grow in what has been revealed to us. And the things that I found them in Scripture as pertaining to the cross and what has been revealed. Now, the cross itself, many people have misconstrued what it is what its purpose was, I guess, because there are those that physically think that the cross is something to protect them. That if somebody was going to shoot you, and they've got a gun aimed at you, and it's loaded, and they have the mind to shoot you, that you could hold a cross up and protect yourself. There are people that have taught such lessons, you know, in centuries past. There have been armies that would carry a cross in front of them, huge crosses, as they'd go into battle. The first ones are recorded around the year 350, 375, year 400, somewhere in there. But this is not what the Bible's teaching. It does not teach that there was any power in a physical wooden cross or made of any other metal whatsoever. The Bible does not tell us even to make one or to build one. It's terrible enough that our Lord and Savior had to be crucified on one and shed His blood, give His life, on that cross. The things that we want to look at, though, are these lessons. Most of them are from the Apostle Paul, as recorded in the New Testament letters, that deal with the things that we can see that point out what things that we should glory of or boast of, but it certainly is not in what we have done, it's rather in what He has done. The verse that I chose for partly to bring us into this lesson is verse 14 of Galatians chapter 6. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The discussion in the previous verses was about physical things. The Jews thought circumcision, a physical thing, ought to be continued. And there were those that put great faith and great stock in that. And Paul went on to say, or the Spirit through him to say, but God forbid that I should glory in those other things. Only in the cross of Christ, because that's what should be foremost in our minds. And we ought to preach the cross, because the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is how that we're saved. You people talk about great preachers and great this and that and the other. We ought to be talking about the great thing that we have before us that can bring salvation, that can put our sins, be nailed to the cross, even as that song we just sang a moment or two ago. But preaching the cross to some people is foolishness. Well, the Bible says that, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. But some say it is foolish to preach just the cross of Christ. But to the God, the gospel is the power of God of the salvation. And when you preach the gospel, you preach the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we need to be committed to that. We'll talk about commitment a little bit more after a while. But in Ephesians chapter 2, another verse there, verse 12. I'd like to look at and bring it to our mind. Well, let's just pick up in Ephesians letter chapter 2 at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Well, where was the blood of Christ shed? On the cross, wasn't it? So that's why we've got to preach the cross. Jesus is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition, taking out of the way, you know. He abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so bringing or making peace, preaching the cross. Anything else is just going to separate us. The scriptures teach us also the cross reveals God's love. It reveals what God has done for us. Nobody could do what he did without love. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. So that's one great and noble thing. But we also have to remember that through the cross we can reach the love of God. It is there and it's available, but if we don't avail ourselves to it, it would almost be like worthless, would it not? So we have to reach the love of God. And the cross itself reveals God's love to us. We wouldn't know what it was, would we, without God bringing us this love, without God revealing to us through the cross his love and Jesus shedding his blood there. Notice in Romans chapter 5, a good verse there, verses 6 through 8. And that verse teaches us that while we were yet weak, or while we were yet sinners, we see how that God, or Christ, died for the ungodly. He died for the sinners. And verses 6 through 8 of Romans chapter 5. He commended his love to us. How was it done? By the cross. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Will somebody give me a glass? Oh, thank you. I see it now. A glass of water there. We'll use that. We shall be saved from wrath through him. How else can we be saved except by the blood of Christ? Where is it revealed? On the cross, or by the cross. And by the preaching of the cross, people can know where to come in contact with the blood. They wouldn't know it if you don't preach about it. They wouldn't know it if you don't tell them about it. You've got to talk it up. Got to tell them about it and be committed to the talking and telling about the cross, because when you do that, you're telling about the love of God. Now, people can walk around, they can Bible thump, they can pat themselves on their what they call their heart up here, you know, and that they've got the love of Jesus, but if they don't teach you and tell you about the cross of Christ and Jesus dying on that cross and how that preaching Jesus dead, buried, and resurrected or risen again, they will not have eternal life, because they won't have nothing to believe. They won't have nothing to obey except their own feelings. Feelings are not going to save people. Now let us see how feelings are controlled by the scriptures themselves. So we need to tell about the tender story of the cross. It portrays God's love for us. And it portrays how that we can love God in return. Jesus said so very simply, words that maybe people just don't grasp, that if you love me, keep my commandments. Now those commandments are not grievous, they're not hard to do. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's hard about that? What is difficult about that? Matthew 10:33, whosoever confesses me before men, I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Is that hard to do? Is it difficult? It might be foolish to some people, but we should remember that's what the Lord wants us to do. And this about the cross, that's a story that should make us sorry for our sins. I read, you can go to Matthew chapter 27 and read about the crucifixion if you want to at some proper time. But to preach the cross and the gift that is there, it should make us sorry for every sin that we committed. make us sorry for how we feel towards God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Godly sorrow worketh repentance done. But what is this repentance? Repentance in itself will not save, because repentance is unto salvation. You've got to repent before you can be saved. Now, this brings us, there's no regret in that, but the sorrow of the world, it just worketh death. So many people, when they get caught after committing a crime, one of the things they say is, I'm sorry for what I've done. Are they sorry before God? Are they sorry that God, I have sinned against you because I've stolen? I've sinned against you because I shot my fellow man, or whatever, the crime is that we have done? That's the sorrow that we need. If you preach Christ unto people and they believe in Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ, that somebody has died that we can live, then surely that ought to bring sorrow to our hearts. We ought to be sad over the sad way that we have lived in the past, the opportunities we have forsaken, the opportunities that we have missed because we did not rely on the Lord to save us. But many people's hearts have become calloused. Sin has been melded into something that it's almost like an enjoyable thing. It's almost like you get a medal for being a sinner. And that's about the way some folks act. You get a medal for being a sinner. Ah, that water is good. You can't beat what the Lord provides. It might be piped in a different way, but it comes right in here for us, don't it? Now, another thing, this cross, I see from the Scriptures, it's God's appeal to us. God's appeal to us. Romans 5 and verse 10, we use that verse there again, because it does tell us that this is God's appeal to us. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. See, we were separated, but now we're going to be reconciled to God. How? By the death of Jesus Christ. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Other verses there we could read with this. You can do it at your convenience. But notice, this is God's appeal to us. It's the cross. It ought to appeal to every man, woman, and child that hears the gospel preached. So that's something that we can accomplish. He accomplished it for us. And He shows us that this is how it's done. And we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful that over yonder in a foreign land, there was a hill, and it was a terrible place for one to live in certain ways, because there were so many things working against you. The people there were like living in a hornet's nest, weren't they? But we know this when we think about that hill where Golgotha, the place of skulls, Calvary is, and that is this, that greater love hath no man than this. John chapter 15 and verse 13, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Somebody has done something for us. I run into a lot of the veterans, and I see those that are really thankful. They might look like big tough guys, but most of them have a tender spot. When they think about somebody has given their life, somebody has done something, that they are alive today. And they cherish that thought. They don't tell you about it. Very few ever mention it. But it's there if they ever do. Somebody. And that's the way you and I are. We think back to our forefathers. Somebody has made it possible we could sit here like we have this afternoon. Somebody. a lot of people, not just one or two, maybe sometimes. But remember that people make it possible for what we are to hear. And that cross ought to be God's appeal, you know, to us. I'm thinking a little story here happened during the Second World War. And I've heard of this story before and then read about it here recently again. But the scene is in France. The Nazis, of course, have taken over half of France. The Vichys are on the other side. And there was a 10-year-old girl. It is about supper time. Her mother is fixing supper when the SS troop comes in and just shoots her mother in cold blood, kills her right there in front of the little girl. As a matter of fact, the SS stands for the security, social security troops or something like that, if you can believe it. But anyway, she's thrown in the back of a truck, sent to a concentration camp where she has a red tag around her neck. She's doomed to go to the gas chambers to be exterminated, as they call it, 10 years old. It's a terrible situation enough right there. On about the second or third day, this night time, there was a voice comes up and calls her name in this camp. A man's voice. And he takes her outside. He says, "I am your uncle. Give me the red tag that's around your neck. I have a green tag. I am to live because I am a machinist." And they got to have machinists. So I'm in slave camp and working as machinists and will as long as they need me. But you can live with this red, with this green tag. So they switch tags. He says, "Come with me." And they sneak out towards the fence. He says, "When the guard passes, I'm going to put you through the fence, through the wire, and you must go, and you must run. Now look over your left shoulder, and you'll see the Big Dipper in the sky. Keep that Big Dipper over your left shoulder, because you'll be going south. Big Dipper's to the north." He has three pieces of dry, hard bread, and that's what he gives that to her, said, "That's all I've got." So she runs for 3 days. It takes 3 days to reach the little town of Monet, France. This guy's wife lives there. And the little girl is able to find her aunt in that little town, and she lives. 10 years later, she's living in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and she marries a veteran from the United States Air Force, who flew B-29s during the war. We are all here because of somebody else has made it possible. And salvation is here because of someone else, and that's Jesus Christ. Remember the cross, what an appeal that we ought to have, you know, to that cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. I won't read all those, but you that write down these things, you can write them down and read the rest of these verses at your convenience there. "But for the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Remember that tonight. As you leave this building, remember that the preaching of the cross is foolish to a lot of people. But to those of us that's saved, it's in a safe condition that have obeyed the gospel, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. Very necessary. That's why Paul, the apostle, through the Holy Spirit, said, "I determined," as this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you know, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Okay, the cross also, you know, it reveals perfection. He became the author of eternal salvation. The perfection of eternal salvation is in Jesus Christ. Remember that. Hebrews chapter 2, and of course the first verses of the first chapter teach us how God in times past spake unto the prophets, but now he speaks to us, you know, through Christ. So when you talk about Christ, you teach about the wonderful message Christ brought and how he went about doing good and all this sort of thing. But you've got to come up to the cross. The cross. Because that's where it all accumulates. It comes together right there, doesn't it? Jesus came to do God's will. He was committed to doing God's will. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Where is he now? On the right hand of God, says right there. So, talking about commitment, he had a commitment. He came to do the Father's will. I'll tell you a little story, bring it up to date, to this congregation. I mentioned this morning about 1966, when the congregation began with gospel preaching downtown and in the old National Guard Armory. Well, the Guard Armory is still there. But for that to happen, this congregation to begin, Mooresville Church of Christ, there was a commitment. The preacher and his wife, with five children, were at Corinth over at Woodleaf, North Carolina. They made a commitment to start a congregation in Mooresville. There was another family there, a man and his wife with five children, one just being a little infant, born in March, I believe it was. Their name was the Ferris family, Kenneth and Wanda. They made a commitment to be at this congregation as long as was necessary to establish it. He lived 3.5 miles from his job. He moved to Mooresville, 15 miles away from his job, to help start this congregation. That's a commitment. We need commitment in the church. And I could tell you some more stories. We had some of the same thing down at Lake Norman. Had a vision, first, of a congregation. And then people made a commitment to carry that out. Jesus Christ made a commitment. And what all he suffered to carry that out. But he did. Remember commitment. Remember what others have done. Okay, another thing the cross reveals to us. The end of the law. Dennis went over some of these, you know, just a couple of weeks ago here. But it reveals a commitment. And it also reveals the end of the law. The cross brought an end to that law. To the Jews. And their system, all of these ordinances. Colossians 2, verse 14, blotted out this written, these ordinances, that and took them out of the way. They were against us, the Bible says. They were contrary to us. And he had taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to his cross. Those ordinances, they were wonderful in their day. They were things God ordained in their day. But they had served their purpose. Why? Our friends and neighbors in the denominational world, you know, from all the great revivals and preaching and opening the pages of this wonderful book, could not see that we're not bound to live and under the Sabbath day and all of this sort of thing that they brought, tried to bring into the church. But you can't do it because it is not part of the church. We're not ordered today to belong to the Sabbath day and 100 other things. I remember one of my neighbors, I've told you this before, but his daddy told her, you can't even whittle on Sunday. I thought about it a while ago. I was coming over here and 2 or 3 people were mowing their yard. When the day this congregation began, even in 1966, 51 years ago, I don't believe you could have drove 30 miles from here, any direction, and found a single individual with a lawnmower in his hand. Not on Sunday. not on Sunday. It didn't happen. They were ashamed to do that. Are people ashamed today to sin? No. Why, we just passed an ordinance in North Carolina law. You can sell liquor a little 2 hours earlier. Noon is not early enough on Sunday, but start at 10 o'clock. I said, why bother to even quit? You're not even going to, you know, do something different than that. Why bother to stop at midnight or whatever the law said? But his death on the cross, he took out of the way this old law. Good old law in its day. But it kept the Jew and the Gentile apart. There was enmity between us. He took it out of the way. For the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to the Jew first, also to the Greek. The cross did that. Took that division out of the way. That separation. The cross reveals that there was a separation. Let me tell you one other thing about this ordinances and all. There was a king long ago. I like this old boy. I still like to read about him yet today. But in Numbers chapter 21, God told Moses something. He said, Moses, I read kind of like this, if you paraphrase, go get you some brass and make a fiery serpent, set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone that is bitten by these serpents, and they look at it, they will live. That's a miracle. A physical thing is being mentioned there in Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9, to build, and if people get bit by the snake, they're going to live. Sounds great. But now what happened? What would people do? How could this go wrong? Why would people mess this up? Moses had made it. Moses is holding it. But guess what? By the time Hezekiah comes along, I told you I liked Hezekiah. When he comes along, we find this in 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4. He removed all of these high places. And he broke down the sacred pillars and he cut down Asherah. He broke in pieces the brass serpent that Moses had made. Now Moses, Hezekiah, why did you do that? For until these days, the sons of Israel had burned incense to it. See what they'd done? A good thing was made to them sin. They now burn incense to this brass serpent that served its purpose that Moses had made. God ordered it made. Hezekiah had to take it down because people sinned against it. Sinned against it. Images. People today are so wound up on serving these images. And that's another thing. It, you know, brings a separation and so on like that. The Spirit, says through Paul, Galatians 6:14, as we read to begin with today, through which the world have been crucified unto me and I unto the world. Sin was a separation. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:17. In fact, the Greek word church actually literally means ekklesia, a called out people. We're called out. We are, as revealed through the 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, a elect race, a royal priesthood, because we're Christians of Christ. The Bible shows that we are put to death, our sinful lives, in order to live for Christ. Romans 8:13, Colossians 3:5, all these places. The cross enables us to do that. the apostle writing to about dying to sin and being buried in baptism, then we are raised up to walk in a new life. That's the wonderful thing about baptism. The old person, the old sin, sinner is put away, his sins are put away, they're taken out of the way because he reached the blood of Christ in baptism. You then put on Christ and you arise to walk in a new life. You're not walking down the same pathway. You maybe once walked into the bar rooms and all of these places and lied and stole and done whatever, and, you know, went fishing on Sunday morning. Now you done started meddling, preacher. Try it, isn't it? Dipping snuff, well, there you go, meddling again. I heard a lady say that one time. You done quit preaching, started meddling. We didn't talk about stuff like that. But anyway, the Bible wants us to walk in a new life. Our old man was crucified. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Our old man was crucified with him. And the world doesn't see that. The world tells you just to do this, you little something. Man, I used to laugh sometimes years ago. Didn't have TV preachers at that time, if there were, they weren't in our neighborhood. But we had a radio, and the battery was good. You turn that thing on, and you hear one of them old country preachers, y'all do this, and y'all do that. And he say, just, now here at the end, put your hand on the radio and pray this with me. You, a couple of people in here heard that sometime or another in your lifetime. Put your hand on the radio and pray this prayer with me, and you will be saved. Well, find that one in the scripture. You got a long search, haven't you? A long search. We rise to walk in newness of life because we have heard the gospel. We believe the gospel. We obeyed the gospel by coming unto Christ through confessing him that he is Lord and Savior. And we go and be baptized for the remission of our sins. I can't be buried for your sins. You can't be buried for my sin. You have never sat at the feet of any preacher on the face of this earth that can save you because you heard him preach. You've got to obey it yourself. I've got to obey it. We all got to obey it. And we've got to tell folks about it, that they can obey it. The cross reveals a cross for me. Luke 9:23. If any man would come after me, and we're going to conclude here in a second, let him deny himself. See, I'm going back to that word commitment. Jesus had a commitment. Some of our brethren have had a commitment. And you and I must make a commitment. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross every week, no, daily, and follow me. Luke 9:23. Jesus bore the cross for us. Remember that old hymn? Must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. Dedication. Loyalty, commitment. Jesus Christ was committed. The apostles of all of the first century were committed. Are you committed tonight? Will you commit yourself? If you've never obeyed the gospel, it's a wonderful time. There's no need to put it off. If you need it, you know, it's like a hungry person. If you need food and it's there, why not avail yourself to it? The ability for you to become a child of God, a Christian, is right there tonight. So if you never obey the gospel, do it. If you're a child of God, Romans, Acts chapter 8 tells us that that's wandered astray. You need to come back. And you do that by repentance. And we'll help you. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. And we'll continue to be with you throughout your life as long as we need each other. But nevertheless, if you're a child of God that's wandered astray, you too can come. We'll stand and sing a song of invitation. If there are those that need to be, come now as we stand and sing.